You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. I want to take a moment to remember a Los Angeles radio and print legend, Brad Pye Jr. Mr. Pye passed away Sunday in his sleep at the age of 89. He died at his Los Angeles home. But I grew up listening to Brad Pye. I'm his lover of rhythm and blues and soul music as a listener to the old KGFJ and KACE and KJLH. I'd hear Brad Pye Jr.'s sports reports all the time. And it's just a wonderful way of giving an African-American perspective to what was happening in sports. Great insight into the community, its relationship with athletes who came out of Los Angeles to go on and star at the collegiate and the professional level. And Brad Pye Jr., in his writing for the LA Sentinel, our local African-American newspaper, and for radio stations with predominantly African-American audiences, just did a tremendous job. But there was more to Brad Pye Jr. than even just his career in journalism. He also worked with teams like the Angels. He pushed for diversification of professional sports and was a man who was deeply, deeply committed to making sure that the stories of African Americans in sports were told. And just of great service to the Los Angeles community. Brad Pye Jr. passed away at the age of 89. I have the pleasure of serving on a nonprofit board that Mr. Pye served on for many, many years. And the stories that I've heard from my colleagues in that board as to what a terrific person he was and his sense of care for others in the profession of journalism, as well as for his community, really, really came through. So our condolences to his family, Brad Pye Jr., who passed away at the age of 89. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I was completely unaware of the derogatory term Karen for often middle-aged white woman who is exerting some sort of privilege, making some sort of selfish demand. And apparently this figure of the Karen goes back quite a number of years. It was just something I was not aware of. And with us to explain what the Karen embodies, whether it's sexist, what the term means, is Caitlin Tiffany, staff writer at The Atlantic. Caitlin, thank you for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So take us back to the origins. I understand it's been part of stand-up comedy for years, that there was some guy complaining about his ex-wife Karen online that fueled. How did this become a meme?
Yeah, so Karen actually has a couple of different origin points that have all kind of coalesced in her recent popularity. But I think an important one to talk about is the way that the term Karen was used among Black women for, for many years and in different names for decades before that, as just kind of this shorthand for the type of white woman that they should be wary of, like someone who was likely to call the police or to complain about, you know, kids having a lemonade stand, that kind of thing. You might be familiar with Becky as another instance of that from the 90s. That was sort of the term for an equivalent type of white woman who was interested in wielding her privilege at the expense of others. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, I think the internet-y version of Karen came from Reddit, where the people using it were not necessarily aware of that context, but they were just riffing on this Reddit user's posts about his vindictive ex-wife, who was named Karen. And it was kind of an in-joke that just spiraled into this bigger thing. There's now several subreddits dedicated to the character of Karen, who, as you mentioned, is usually middle-aged, pretty much always white, usually upper middle class, somebody who is really interested in consumerism and in their personal rights, and, you know, complaining, seeing the world exist in a way that's hospitable to them, regardless of whether that demeans or endangers other people.
It seems like it's kind of a flexible term, though, that has come to embody a variety of sort of heavily criticized personal traits or behaviors. Is it fair to say that it's not particularly targeted? It takes in a wide range of things?
Yeah, it's definitely very flexible. There has also been a lot of Karen memes on TikTok that I think are kind of going at it from the more superficial angle, just making fun of women for being quote unquote basic, you know, women who love going to Starbucks and get really angry at TJ Maxx managers and that kind of thing. But there's also a form of the Karen meme that is about a more serious societal critique, particularly during the coronavirus. We have seen that people of color have been disproportionately impacted, whether because of existing health inequalities or because they make up a larger percentage of essential workers. And, you know, the white middle class Karen who is willing to endanger other people so that she can go about her business, getting her hair cut, getting her nails done, she's an actual threat to public health. So when people are making those memes, while they do appear to be kind of mean and petty, there actually is, you know, like some truth to them and some use to them.
So I've seen it used, and you'd know a lot more about this than I do, Caitlin, but I've seen it used for criticism of women who sort of, you know, flout the public health standards, and then women who try and be the enforcer of the standards, both.
Yes, yeah. The pandemic has had several iterations of Karen. I think starting just as the virus was making its presence known in the States, when there were a lot of videos of women in grocery stores complaining to managers about how there was no toilet paper, how there was no, you know, bleach wipes, that kind of thing. Those people were labeled Karens. And then, yes, the people who were protesting shutdown orders for various frivolous reasons were also dubbed Karen. And then there was a third Karen who is really, I guess, embodied by the sort of suburban woman who lives in a way where she's not really at a lot of risk, but she has a lot of impulse to shame people who can't take the proper precautions to avoid the coronavirus. So I actually noticed, I grew up in a suburb, but I live in New York now. I noticed this amongst a lot of my mother's friends, this feeling that they believe like people in the city just aren't trying to stay safe. New York is causing this problem because we live in a dirty or like crowded way. And they definitely expressed a lot of opinion about that.
Do they know the term Karen?
Oh, yeah. I actually have an aunt, Karen, who unfortunately is really the opposite of Karen. I don't think she's ever talked to a manager in her life. And she just sort of works from home on a farm. But yeah, they're definitely aware. I think some of them would probably take offense.
What about one of the critiques I've seen is that this is sexist, that this is, separating out women and targeting them for abuse and criticism for their behavior. Do you think that there is a significantly sexist element in this?
Well, I think this is where the mixed origin of Karen comes into play, because it was used in a very specific context by Black women in a way that I don't feel is sexist at all. It was just based on the reality of their experience. But then when things become popular on Reddit, you know, Reddit is pretty well known for misogyny and toxic attitudes of all kinds. So I think if you go into the subreddits where people are posting these memes, you'll definitely find an element of sexism. And I think the critique that there's no male equivalent of Karen is valid, because, you know, there are obviously men risking other people's lives during the pandemic as well. I did see someone propose that the male Karen be named Mark, which I think works.
Poor Marks. Poor Karens. What about the people who have these names and, like your aunt, bear no resemblance whatsoever to this caricature?
Yeah, I got a lot of emails from readers named Karen after this story went up who were saying that it was harmful or that it was even a slur. I understand why it might be sort of embarrassing or even a little hurtful to see Karen memes if your name is Karen, but I think we need to be careful when we're talking about, the impact of words. You know, Karen is not really a slur. Nobody has been the victim of a hate crime because their name is Karen, you know, and eventually it will be another name. We're not really talking literally about women named Karen. We're just talking about a demographic where that name is popular or it's just perceived to be popular.
And do you think the actual name Karen, that largely is because of the guy who was complaining about his ex-wife Karen, is that pretty much where the name itself comes from?
It'd be really hard to say because that subreddit was formed in 2017. I think there was already probably at that point like some conversation about, you know, Karen is also associated with like some boomer stereotypes. And I think it probably already had a little bit of that connotation before, and maybe that's why it caught on so well when that guy started complaining about his wife.
We'll continue with staff writer at The Atlantic, Caitlin Tiffany, and we'll talk about the Central Park case of the woman who called the police on the bird watcher who was near her in the park. And attempting to use his race as a threat against her in the call that she made to the police. She's being prosecuted for making a false police report. We'll continue in just 1 minute on Air Talk. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. San Francisco supervisor is proposing the Karen Act, which stands for Caution Against Racially Exploitive Non-Emergencies. The idea is that it would be a crime, independent of filing a false police report, of making a criminal call, a call alleging a criminal act by someone because of that person's race or ethnicity. This coming out of the Central Park case, which is so noxious, is so difficult to watch. And I know many of us have seen the video of the woman in Central Park calling the police on the guy who's just there, you know, bird watching when her dog's off leash and her dog is creating the problem. And then describes herself as under threat because there's an African American man there. She's now being charged, by the way, with filing a false police report. But Caitlin Tiffany of The Atlantic, this seems to have turbocharged the Karen classification, the Central Park woman.
Yeah, that video, as you said, is really horrifying and difficult to watch. And it circulated pretty quickly on Twitter. And I think almost immediately people started referring to Amy Cooper, the woman in the video, as a Karen, because she really is displaying like the most dangerous strain of Karenism, which is explicitly wielding your privilege, in this case, to bring down the power of the state against somebody else. So I think it definitely amplified the awareness of Karens, not just as something to kind of poke fun at, but something to really think about seriously. And that Karen example really also sharpened the critique of Karen alongside the COVID examples that we talked about.
And the man who you know was the victim in that situation has been so gracious through this whole thing, and last I saw he's not going to testify against her in the false police report case, but he has just the way he's handled this, I think a great example to all of us. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. I can't imagine how enraging it would be for him to have experienced what he did in that circumstance. 866-893-5722. Yawandi in Westwood, good to have you with us. Your thoughts about the Karen caricature.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good.
So nice to be here. It's so nice to hear your voice. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say real quick that, you know, someone said something to the effect of, you know, Karens around the world are feeling so bad because they're like, I'm not really that caricature and I don't want to be prejudged by having that name. And certainly that's not the case. But however, I just think that's ironic because that's kind of what the Black Lives Matter movement is also trying to stipulate. We're stipulating, listen, the color of our skin, we should not be prejudged. We should not also be deemed to a certain caricature that they have towards Black people, in particular law enforcement. So I just think that's an interesting take on it. And I definitely appreciate this conversation. And, you know, the Karen conversation is kind of on a side note. I actually know somebody who had some stereotypical or prejudicial points of question, we'll just say that, and their name actually was Karen. So it's just a really interesting way to view things, but I just really appreciate the conversation, and I just want people to know that just like they don't want to be generalized by their name, we as Black people also don't want to be generalized by the skin, by the color of our skin.
I appreciate you, Yawande. Thank you so much. Yawande in Westwood joining us on Air Talk. We should also mention, because she was just on the program recently, the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus is Karen Bass, who is on the short list for Joe Biden's running mate in the election. But not, of course, Karen fitting in with this stereotype. Yawande, thanks very much. Let's see, Mark in West Adams District, you're on Air Talk. You have a twin sister named Karen?
I do, and my name is Mark, and you're...
Yeah, we're talking about Mark.
I actually pulled over to give this comment because I was laughing so hard. Neither one of us expresses those kinds of qualities, or at least I hope not, but it did occur to me that names are kind of cyclical over time, that they have different popularities during different time periods. I was born in 1964. Mark was a very popular name then. Karen was a very popular name then as well. It's less popular now, but I wonder if that has anything to do with, you know, that kind of age period of people in their mid-50s who maybe, you know, that's, you know, how Karen became Karen and Mark became Mark within the context of this conversation.
That's a really good point that you raise, Mark. Thanks so much. With the twin sister, Karen. Caitlin, Tiffany, yeah, because names are cyclical, and Mark makes a good point that Karen sort of denotes a particular age range.
Right, yeah. I actually spoke to a media researcher named Meredith Clark about this, and she had said, yeah, Karen has had other names. She's been Becky, she's been Permit Patty, and eventually she'll be something else, you know, maybe Jennifer or Jessica once people born in the 90s start to become adult women. Hopefully they won't be expressing themselves in the way that Karens are currently. But yeah, I do think it is tied to the popularity of those names in a specific time period and then the age demographic that the name is trying to critique.
All right. Mark, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate. April in the Crenshaw District says, I want to reiterate how serious this is. There are multiple instances where police are called in silly circumstances and then tragic things happen. April, thank you very much for that comment. You can share your comments on the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Atlantic staff writer Caitlin Tiffany, thank you so much for being with us and talking about the evolution of the name Karen and the caricature it calls to mind. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned. Fresh Air with Terry Gross comes up next. Here on 89.3 KPCC, a reminder, tomorrow Friday, Air Talk at 10, Film Week at 11 o'clock. We have a new Tom Hanks movie we'll talk about.